For some reason, I have a page that does not want to cooperate. There it is. Fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Underline all. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, I think also we should add, wow. "But let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And Lord, we thank you for the story of stories, the greatest story ever told, the greatest message ever given, the salvation that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are forever grateful to you. May you open our eyes to see that relationship that we have with you today, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You read those verses, and I wonder about you, what you would focus on. There's so much there, right? Every single verse, you could just go crazy with it. It's so beautiful. It's so overwhelming. It's so amazing. Back to verse 12 for a minute. "And this will be a sign to you, the sign to you." It's actually a couple added words for clarity, but "you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Anyway, many of us have tried to imagine what it would have been like for those shepherds out in the fields at night. Have you thought about that? Like, what was that really like for them? What was the moment? Not just the view, what did it look like? Because we don't even quite comprehend that. But then emotionally, spiritually, what kind of things would happen in them? What was that like for them? What did they feel? What did they experience? And honestly, it seems hard to do, doesn't it? The things that you're used to and that I'm used to. Could I ever feel as they did that night? Because they must have felt pretty high, pretty great. I don't mean high on drugs. They must have felt high in the heavenlies. They must have felt wonderful. And, you know, you might be already ahead of me where I'm going, but of course it was that most important announcement ever heard or seen, and they were just out there minding their own business, counting sheep. I mean, we say, you know, it's been in our history, count sheep to fall asleep. They would count sheep to stay awake, you know. Count them again, I'm going to fall asleep, I got to watch out for wolves, I don't know, but I thought it was a good joke when I made it up. Life doesn't work out like you planned. But now you know this. You know that the scriptures not only tell us of the experience of others, shepherds in a field, Mary, historically Elijah and Elisha and Moses, and miracles and signs and wonders and visions and angels appearing to people. It not only tells us that they'll have those, yes, it tells us that we can have those too. But I want to say the scripture tells us much more emphatically. So I'm going to stop. If you want to say, look, at miracles and signs and wonders are for today, I agree with you. Anything is for today, and so we're good there. But how about being really emphatic about what's the most highest emphasis there is. And the problem is we miss the emphasis, the emphaticness that our experience with God meeting him is equal to, if not exceeding, any of those things. You know, for instance, in Matthew 17 and in Mark 9, we have Jesus taking Peter, James, and John to the Mount. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. It was just a hill. But they went up there, and Jesus began to glow, and his clothing shining from within, emanating light, heavenly, holy light. He was changed. His whole persona was changed in front of him. It's almost like when Superman pulls back his shirt and you see the S, you know, that's a minor issue to Jesus being unveiled, you know, his humanity being unveiled to let his deity shine through. And then there's Moses and Elijah who are in glory with God, therefore they, but that's not our story today. What it is this white light, this brightness, and the voice from heaven. If you experience something like, if you experience that, do you think it would change your life? Yeah, you think so? I hope so. But, you know, I'm going the other way. It didn't change Peter enough. It didn't change Peter enough to not sit in the upper room and say, even if all these guys deny you, I'll never deny you, because, you know, he was filled with himself. So that experience didn't make him totally broken. If I saw that, I would just be so a puddle, and then I'd forever just worship God because of that. Are you sure? Because Peter didn't. That experience wasn't enough to change him so dramatically that he did not deny he even knew Jesus three times that fateful night in the garden, you know, the night of the crucifixion or preceding the crucifixion. And so it's not enough. It wasn't enough. Is that partly why in 2 Peter 1:19, when Peter is describing being there with Jesus, receiving that witness, telling us how real it was, but then saying to us, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. And the morning star rises in where? Our hearts. Because you and I should listen and take heed as if a light is shining in a dark place. And then as we do that, the day star is going to rise up, the morning star, in our hearts. These aren't my words. Except shtick, you know, goofy jokes, and tell you about my failures and weaknesses. And really, that's all we have for each other without Jesus. Or we could have pride, how great we are. Listen to me. These aren't my words. We didn't make this up. We would have never made this up. We would have tried to make something up that fit into our mode of operation that made life better for us. That would be it. We would have dropped God to a level of Santa Claus. As a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, so there's a star that should rise, that will rise within my heart. So you can use a concordance for these things. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. The day star or morning star is the word in Greek, phosphorus. It's exactly as we write phosphorus. Literally, light bearing. And here's the definition thing. Indicating the arising of the light of Christ as the personal fulfillment in the hearts of believers of the prophetic scripture concerning his coming to receive them to himself. Say, yes, this is the truth of who you are and that you promised you'd come in all these ways. And I personally receive, not just as we said last week, written words on a page, But the Holy Spirit brings it to my heart, and I open my heart and embrace him and embrace this truth, and I have the reality that is greater than Peter experienced on that mountaintop. John was with Peter on that mountaintop, and his gospel right off the bat in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him or by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. How many things were made without Jesus? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The word comprehend in New King James also can be translated overcome it or apprehend it, which means to lay hold of so as to possess as one's own possession. Oh, wait a minute, Rick. Isn't that what we get in Jesus? You're saying the we're in the dark without possess that? No, it doesn't mean that. We can't experience the light. No, it doesn't mean that. He's the light of all men. In John, Gospel of John 1, verse 9, Jesus is called the true light that gives light to every person that comes into the world. But humans, by their own intellect and ability, unregenerate man cannot embrace that light, cannot see that light, cannot experience that light unless and until the Holy Spirit reveals it and opens a heart to it, which is what he does. So humanly we can't do it, but spiritually, by the grace of God through his powering, we can do it. So how do we describe comprehending the light? I had an experience just yesterday or the day before, you know, and everybody has different experiences, but something that I pray this is true. I mean, I seek to cultivate in my relationship with the Lord an awareness of who he is. And I do that not because I'm so high and spiritual and I float in the cloud and let me let you up with me. I do that because I'm such a stinking sinner that my natural man is so sinful that it will just take me into the cesspools. Now, if you're better than me, I applaud you. But that's me without God. And that's me if I allow nature to take its course, human nature. And I don't want it. And sometimes I battle. But when I want God, you know what? Fighting sin is really hard and painful. And not very successful. Focusing on Jesus is awesome. And freeing and releasing and developing of faith and hope and love and allows you to shed those things. Now, no one sitting here is a perfect human doing this, but it's a lot better to the direction than just always, I can't do that, and I can't do that. Oh, why am I doing that? Oh, I shouldn't do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, welcome to wonderful, loving, great, glorious, happy Christianity. It doesn't get very far, does it? And some of you, that's all you've ever been taught in other places or et cetera, or maybe you thought you got that from us, but I'm trying to just show you a different side. And that side is what I try to cultivate in my own life, is to think about who he is and talk up to him about who he is. And believe me, I never get tired of it. I never think, well, I've already done this. Fox bagel and cream cheese, kind of a family favorite growing up. I had already had it before. I didn't go, oh, I've already had this. I don't need any more. I've tasted lox bagel. I mean, for you, maybe that makes you sick. You know, your favorite pizza. You know, when you have something that's good and a place you go that you love, you keep going back. When you have food that's good and it's the best taste you ever had and you can't improve on it, you know, Baskin-Robbins Jamocha Almond Fudge, a moment of silence, they closed down years ago. There's no other ice cream for me. There's no other ice cream but Jamocha Almond Fudge. It just, well, I'd try another kind and it was good. It wasn't Jamocha almond fudge, which is what I wanted, because I've tasted it and it satisfied me in a super duper duper way. So when somebody's, you can't just keep doing that. It's just rote. It's just whatever. No, taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe your vision is clouded and you don't see. Maybe it's not hot air. Maybe there's a reality that you have not experienced. Whoever it is that I'm talking to this way. Because when you get to be with Jesus and talk to him about who he is, it's bigger. He's never going to get any bigger or any smaller. Everybody agree? He's God. You make him bigger where? In you, in your view of him. Does that sound like it might help me overcome sin? I think so. So the other day, yesterday, the day before, I'm driving across the bridge into Glens Falls from South Glens Falls. I'm thinking about my need for Jesus to focus on him. And I say, you know, Lord, you created me. You created me. Now, this might not be a big revelation or encouragement to some of you, but I would ask you to ponder what that means. I want you to exist. You wouldn't. He specifically made you. Each one of you, God made you, drum roll, for himself. He made you for himself. My natural tendency is I'm driving down the road and I'm going, business over here, they're building something over here, that place is dilapidated, these people are weird walking down the street, oh, there's McDonald's and, you know, and this and that, oh, should I stop at Cumberland for a coffee because I like their coffee, and, you know, that's the world. And none of that is why I was born. I have to live through the world. I don't resist, oh, I want to sit on a mountaintop and ohm. I'm okay being in that world. But I am not satisfied by that world. I don't have purpose from that world unless I lower my identity to just, I'm in the world, and maybe I'll stop at McDonald's, maybe I'll get a Cumberland, maybe I'll go into that store and buy something, maybe I'll stop and see that person, and it's all just stuff. I know people are more important, but you get what I'm saying. And you created me for yourself. I exist for you. Me, and you're never going to leave me or forsake me, and you keep coming back to me when I start to stray and get all messed up, and you're not going to stop, and I don't want you to. Thank you for caring enough about me to remind me that you created me. Well, maybe you made that up yourself, Rick. You thought about it because you were just depressed or something and you wanted some reason. Well, even if I don't take credit for thinking of it, but even if I did, God didn't say, no, I didn't. He said, yeah, I did. I made you for myself. Now, that may not float your boat, but I'd encourage you to ask yourself why. What is it in you that is dominating you that will not allow that to be meaningful to you? Because something's happen in there. And so you have this wonderful true light that gives light to every person that comes into the world, and you can't comprehend it in the flesh. Your human nature will never go, this is wonderful, keep talking. Your spirit is identifying with it. But if your spirit's not in charge, if your spirit's not large and in charge, if your spirit's not, you know, if you're not yielding to it right now, it's a wall. God will work with you. I don't have to, that pressing thing I mentioned last week, God, somebody must have prayed for me, but also just confessing it, it just got a lot easier. Letting go. Things that I tell other people to do, I still need to do myself, and I fail sometimes. This is not shameful. It's just, doesn't mean you're a hypocrite either. The hypocrite purposely pretends to be something they're not. A Christian fails without being a hypocrite. We're also hypocrites in some ways, sure, but everybody thinks you're always a hypocrite if you ever sin. No, if you sin because you're a sinner. So I will fail at the very things I teach you, but I will repent. When I see it, I'll turn to God, and so will you. So we're almost done, but this is so valuable to me. The true light is giving light, not my own intellect or ability, no. So how did we describe comprehending the light? I just described being illuminated about being created by God. There's other ways. Paul said, use the same word, comprehend, in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, same word, with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled, are you listening? That you may be filled, what's coming? That you may be filled with the fullness of God. I forgot it's up there, so you already know. Filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. How does that happen? Jesus said, I'll come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. You know, I have shared many times, and I'm going to do it again. There's a release, and I need that release, so I assume, you know, maybe when I beat my one-string guitar, it's because I need that myself more, and so you're seeing that, but that's okay. I think you need it too. I really do. Just as much as me. And I get it. It's just that I fall back. Forget. Get lost. Get, you know, the store over here, the this over there, the bridge is there. Life. But, you know, I'm not Jesus. Yeah, we're told to be Jesus to each other, you know, be his hands and his feet, you know, we're the body of Christ, and that's true. But we haven't replaced him. He's who he is, and I'm not him. I'll never be Jesus. And so sometimes when people have had a real difficult time with things I haven't been through, and some I have, but not all for sure, and some way beyond what I've been through, or I feel orphaned because of the way my parents dealt with me, I have compassion for that. But the danger in trying to let your compassion for another person in any area outshine God's truth, you know, I can give you empathy and let Rick really cares. Rick really feels for how you feel. And that will last you about 5 minutes if you like me and appreciate me and are moved by other people having a tear for you. And I'm not saying it's wrong that we don't... I'm not negating it, but it is not the thing. It's not the ultimate thing. Because that compassion should lead me like a mother with her, or with her little child, when the child's going, yeah, but I can't experience that. I don't know that, honey. You can. I don't have to force it down anybody's throat. You can, because God promised to you he will not leave you as an orphan. All I know is, I tend to believe him more than I believe you. It's not a downer on you. It's not cutting under your feet. It's not telling you your feelings are not valid. They're real. But what's going to really change that? Somebody has to go, no. Somebody in their life, all of us, have to go, no, I know I feel that way, and it's overwhelming to me. But Jesus, you, and we need to go to him in that moment. And listen, I can't be there. And, you know, I'm not able to, like, can't do surgery to make that happen in a person. That doesn't mean I don't believe it can happen and that it will happen when that's what we want more than anything else. And I don't mean we want the pain to go away more than anything else, because wanting pain to go away more than anything else will make you an addict of things that you don't, that don't help you. But Gail was talking to me about the oxycodone, you know, that she's off, you know, from the knee surgeries. Like, you have to get off it after a little while or it will hook you. And not only does it hook it, well, blah, blah, blah. But the point is that you know, when your number one goal is to remove immediate pain, you'll do things to try to insulate yourself from that pain. You'll never get over that pain. and you'll just keep having to do insulation. Insulation's not fun. It's itchy, and it clogs your breathing. If you want to use that word insulation, it kind of fits, because when I try to insulate myself from what I need to give to God and bring out and let God heal me, it doesn't help me. So we're not here to fix each other. And we can let each other be who we are. And we can also point each other to the one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. So I don't know if you'll have the Christmas you always wanted this year. Probably not. Because I don't know what Christmas you've always wanted, what picture you have in your mind. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting God can't produce and do anything, and he does wonderful things. Part of my pondering the Lord is pondering the great, wonderful things he's done for me in my life that are not just that I'm saved, which is the number one. I have a lot of blessings in my life. I think I have more than a lot of people, and I'm just thankful, thankful, thankful. But I've also had people's, you know, we said, yeah, this the Lord provided this for us. And I had a woman say to us long years ago, she goes, I don't consider this the Lord providing. And I said, man, I'm glad that guy's married to her, not me. Honestly, because she wanted, everything had to be high level. And the place we lived was a dive to her, and I was thankful for a place to live. And it was clean and neat, but it wasn't very fancy. And she said, I don't consider this the Lord providing. I said, man, I'm praying for you, bro. Because he had a hard road to toe. Can you imagine that? She could have said, praise God. She was a Christian. She could have said, praise God, and her heart said, yeah, like, but she said it right out loud, without blinking. I don't think she had a lot of Merry Christmases. I hope she did better. I do. I don't wish any evil on her. But I remember that. And I thank God for Gail, who was thanking God for the place we lived. And I thank God for our life and things that have been so wonderful that other people might say, yeah, not so much. We're not here to compare ourselves among ourselves. We're here to be in tune with God. So I don't think God can't do great things for you that you want him to do. You have a right to dream your dreams and ask God to meet you. But to receive a fullness of him is light coming from within you. And Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him that is able to do, I love NIV, immeasurably more than we could ask or think, tells me that you don't have your sights set too high and God's not going to meet you because you want too much. You have your sights set too low because you expect so little that it's on the lower level. Because not you, you know, I'm not like this, you are, but just you and I by nature go, yeah, I probably won't get to have that deep, deep, powerful relationship. He's with me and I know it, and once in a while I feel good, but most of the time it's just like working through problems. And you've convinced yourself that that's all God has for you. And so your prayers are for those things to either go away or to, and I'm saying the scripture says he can do immeasurably more than you can even think or ask. So there must be something God has a plan or desire to do that you haven't figured out. You haven't figured it out. Does that make sense to you? So, to experience assurance within the sure word of prophecy, the promises of God, his presence in our lives that will make a Merry Christmas and every day. Or why do we pray for the persecuted church? Why do we pray for people in persecution for God to lift their spirit, comfort and assure them, have a sense of his presence? Why would we even bother if we don't believe he has the power to do it? Let me say to you this. I think most of us have more faith for what God can do in somebody else than what he can do in us. Because we've lived with us and we've failed over and over again to change inside. We feel that. So we go, well, I can see God change you and do you. But there's some things in me that I just can't see it. You're not alone there. That's my biggest battle. It's not whether God could provide a couch or money or heal an illness. It's really about God changing me, freeing me. That's my biggest trial of trying to believe because I live with me. Who do you live with? I know who you live with. You live with you. Yes, you do. Was it so? And I know that's true about God's promise and keeping power because Paul and Silas were in Philippi in a dungeon, the lowest dungeon where all the filth falls down on them, locked and stuck. You're saying, I never read where it said Christmas Eve. It doesn't. But it might as well have been. It could have been any day of the year. It could have been Christmas Eve. It could have been Easter. And it could have been the morning of the loss of the temple. And it wouldn't have made a difference what day it was. Because they suffered greatly for him, yet they were so filled with the fullness of God that they began to sing and rejoice. And that's Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Well, that's what they were doing. So I stand by it. It was Christmas. Because they had great tidings, glad tidings of great joy. They never saw the angels. Paul did have miracles. But do you think all those miracles added up to what happened in him? I think it was the loss of all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I've suffered the loss of everything so that I might know him. You might not be ready to go that far today. Let's be real. Not everybody every day is. Sign me up. I'm giving everything up for Jesus. I'm not even asking you do that today. Let's all bow our heads. There's a star for you. There's a star to you, for you, and even in you if you're a true believer. And if you can catch my wording, open yourself to his presence. I'm being tricky with words, Christmas opening presents, in case you didn't catch my trickiness. Open yourself to the present this season and let the day star rise in your heart. You can tell, you usually can tell when you're closing yourself. And listen, if you ever get up and do this kind of talking, you know, preaching, teaching and stuff, and there's a lot of people, this is a lot of people because one person's more than I deserve to talk to. But there's always going to be somebody, as soon as you start talking, the doors are closing. I don't want to hear this. I can't hear this. I'm not going to hear this. Closed. 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 I'm not offended. You're not here to please me. But what I'm encouraging you to do, somebody might get this picture and it might help them change. It might help them, let them set free. You have a choice to choose to open yourself. It's a miracle of God, I know. God has to do it. But you know inside you when you're closing and when you're opening, don't you? So it might not happen today. But if I keep doing this for about 10 minutes, you'll at least leave here and you'll remember it. No, that might not help, and I won't. But somebody is. I have faith that God is speaking to somebody today. There's somebody listening, maybe here in the room, maybe online, that doesn't really, you'd have to say, all this tells me I don't even know Jesus. That's okay. If you're getting that, you're getting something you need. So that you can then know Jesus. If you're getting that, if none of this has ever been real to you, but your heart is pumping, you go, but I know it's true, but I don't get it. You're in a great spot because you're being honest and things can change. Things can open up for you. And the day star can come and rise up in your heart because God's word is not words on a page. It's the reality, breathing air. There's going to come a day where you will no longer breathe air. COVID or not. This reality is greater than breathing air. Let's stand.